You are back listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR, and we are now joined by Ian Rintoul from the Refugee Action Coalition in Sydney to talk about this secret deal struck by the Morrison government in 2021 with the PNG governments for services to refugees who have been left behind in PNG. And, you know, there's a need for an investigation there. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Yeah, morning, Chloe.
Good morning. Would you be able to start by giving us a bit of a background as to what's actually going on in regards to this secret PNG deal and some of the corruption that's been uncovered?
Yeah, sure. The deal relates to an arrangement between the Morrison government and the PNG government, December 2021, and it was the agreement which supposedly cut the connection between the Australian government and PNG government. And what both governments have said since then is that the people who have been left behind by Australia in PNG are now solely the responsibility, you know, of the PNG government. But the terms of that agreement were never made public, still have not been made public, in spite of requests to the Labor government to put the details of that agreement into the public arena, but they've not done that. And since that time, since December 2021, both governments have said we've got absolutely no responsibility whatsoever for, you know, the refugees and asylum seekers that are still in Papua New Guinea. And it's meant that, for example, whereas the government, both the Liberal and Labor, were willing to look at people being brought from Nauru to Australia, even though they've kept, you know, Nauru open, as we now know there's more people being transferred there. But PNG, they've not been willing to bring even the sickest people from, you know, Papua New Guinea to Australia for, you know, any kind of medical treatment. And now the issue that we raised at the time is that there is no way in the world that the PNG government has got the money, the capacity, or the political will actually to support. There's only around 62 people now in Papua New Guinea, but at the time it was up closer to 100. But there's no way in the world they've got the capacity or the funds to actually provide the support for the refugees that they're going to need over the length of time they're going to need it. And even in December 2021, we're saying the money's going to run out. And when the money runs out, the support for the guys, you know, will run out. So what seems to have happened, that the money's run out. We believe certainly some of it has been, you know, siphoned off out of various arrangements between the officials in Papua New Guinea and the supposedly, refugee service, providers. But we've started to see lots of, you know, people being moved around accommodation. Last week we saw the first actual eviction, although it's not the first time people have been evicted. People have been evicted and shifted from one lot of accommodation to another lot of accommodation. But one Afghan family was actually evicted last week before accommodation was found, and that's, you know, exposed, you know, what we think as the problems with the secret deal. Although we still haven't got the terms of the secret deal public yet.
And what can you say about what does this kind of lack of transparency and oversight mean for refugees in terms of their lived experience?
It means that they're tremendously vulnerable. I mean, it's pretty hypocritical when you've got Claire O'Neill and Andrew Giles, very, very concerned about, you know, the vulnerability of people on temporary visas in Australia, and big announcements about, you know, what they're going to do about the visa processing arrangement in Australia, when you've got perhaps the most vulnerable people that are, you know, in their care are still in Papua New Guinea. There are people there who are too sick to actually engage with, you know, refugee authorities, have got no pathway whatsoever to any kind of, you know, permanent resettlement anywhere, and yet the government turns, you know, a blind eye to that. I think the other thing which I think needs to be highlighted is the secrecy of the, you know, of the deal. Like, neither the PNG nor the current Labor government has been willing to make the terms of that deal, you know, public. So in that regard, all the, you know, we've heard come out about, you know, Pizzullo and the general carries on the secrecy about offshore matters. I mean, we know what the Morrison government, why they operated in secret terms, because they didn't want any of these things to become public. When I think it's very clear when you look what's happening in Papua New Guinea, that the secrecy of that deal has provided a scope for corruption, for refugee providers to be shuffling refugees from one set of accommodation to another set of accommodation because the next set of accommodation is owned by a crony, by a relative, which means that they can cream more money off. So it does mean that there's still no future for the people, for the refugees in Papua New Guinea. We also understand, although again the terms of that are not public, is that the contract for the medical care, which is with PIH, the Pacific International Hospital in Port Moresby, that's also running out at the end of the end of the year.
Well, that's really disturbing, Ian. That medical care is might be cut off too, and that refugees are being evicted from accommodation right now. You did touch on some of the response of the government, but the Labor government is now complicit in this, in Morrison's secret deal failing.
Yep, it's their deal now.
It's their deal, yeah, it's their deal now. And I mean, the Morrison government was also one of the most secretive governments, but now, what has been, I mean, we know that ministers like Claire O'Neill, love to, come on the news and, talk about temporary protection visas and all the good stuff they're doing. But what has actually been their response to this? Have they actually said anything, or do they still want to keep it under wraps?
They absolutely want to keep it under wraps. I mean, there have been approaches, since they were elected about the concerns with the deal. There have been lists of people, the people who would not have been able to engage, for example, have been put before them on more than one occasion, both from people in Papua New Guinea and from, refugees, groupings in Australia. So they know very well, what the situation is. There've been specific approaches about people who seriously need medical treatment, to request individual sort of transfers from Papua New Guinea to Australia for medical treatment, and the Labor government has insisted they have no responsibility because of the agreement that Morrison struck in 2021. So they've relied on that agreement in the same kind of way that Morrison did, that Australia has got no responsibility. So it's been a very convenient way for the government, the Labor government, to avoid taking the responsibility for the refugees, which ultimately they are responsible for sending, sending there. So they have a very particular responsibility for the fact that they did send them there. They've got the capacity to bring them back, and there's a secret deal which is beginning to unravel. I think the problems are very obvious, that the PNG government for the first time actually put out a statement last Friday saying that they were going to be approaching the Australian government, the now Labor government, for funds for what they say is the final tranche of money that might be necessary to support the guys who are still there. I mean, it's very clear that they've been there longer than they anticipated. I think the money's run out.
Like over 10 years. Some of them have been there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. 2013. That's how long they've been there. The money's running out. The services are running out. You've got people in the hotels now who are having to pay for their own electricity, their own gas, their own Wi-Fi, all out of a very limited living allowance, which has been eaten into by cost of living increases in any case. So no matter which way you look at it, the Labor government now has got a responsibility for refugees who are in an increasingly precarious situation.
And what can you talk to us about some of the demands that refugee rights activists are demanding, and also some of your thoughts on what is needed to strengthen the movement and bring the government to account around holding responsibility for these refugees?
Well, I guess two or three things, I guess, but no particular order, because on the one, we do think the terms of the secret deal need to be made public. I think it has facilitated corruption in Papua New Guinea. There are refugee service providers. I believe there are PNG officials who are lining their pockets out with money provided by the Australian government for refugees, which is being, you know, lining their own pockets and not going to those services. So the terms of the deal need to be made public. But I think beyond that, really, our argument is that the people, they shouldn't be there. They should have never been sent there in 2013. They need to be brought to Australia, and I think that's the demand that the refugee movement needs to put forward. And I think we need to take advantage of the situation now. I know you've got there's a protest in Melbourne on there's 2 days, the 8th of October, yep. 2 p.m. at the State Library. It's around permanent visas in Australia, but it raises raises the issues about, you know, Papua New Guinea. The permanent visas in Australia, part of that demand is for the people who have been brought here from Papua New Guinea and Nauru and are still living on temporary visas in Australia. So we need to use those opportunities, I think, to raise Australia's responsibility, to insist that we're not going to clean up Morrison's Act. We're not going to have a genuinely humanitarian refugee policy in Australia until the people in Papua New Guinea are brought here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show, Ian, this morning, and for all the work you do in the refugee movement. But before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to let listeners know?
I think we've covered a lot, Chloe, but I think the main thing to get across is that there is a massive amount of unfinished business. For all the announcement of being made, you know, from the Labor government, we've got, Tamil and Iranian women walking from Melbourne to Canberra. We've got protests at Claire O'Neill's office in Melbourne, Anthony Albanese's office in Sydney. It's very, very clear there's a lot of unfinished business. And now we've heard they've taken 11 people to Nauru. So offshore detention is still there. The issues about the protection visas and the proper asylum arrangements in Australia are still there. We've got people who desperately need help in Papua New Guinea. Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time, Ian. Thank you.